Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eck game.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black. Gay.
And ladylike. All the ladies, their ladies and their likes.
What are the ladies like?
Minority Corner.
Yeah, you do. And the award goes to...
Us!
Minority Corner!
This week on Minority Corner...
What you doing, girl?
Ooh, it is Oscar week, and ooh. I am talking about all the political... You know you saw all those pins on lapels. What do those things mean?
Yeah, what do they mean? I was confused and drunk, but what do they mean?
I'm gonna break it down. And then... Good. There's hella political commercials going on surrounding the Oscars, so I'm going to talk about the ins and the outs of political Oscars.
That is fantastic, because I was not paying attention to the commercials. I was too busy schmoozing and boozing, so go ahead, you can break it down to me.
Well, you know, I wasn't paying attention either, I just read an article, but...
Oh, good, thank God for articles.
What are you talking about?
The power of journalism. Well, also, looks like it is our Oscars episode, so I hope everyone's dressed up.
Got my white gloves on.
Ooh, don't eat any sandwiches because you'll get crumbs all over them.
Too late. Okay.
Look at all that mess. Look at all that mess. I hope that's
Slop
mustard.
Slop a Joe and sandwiches.
In your white gloves. I am also talking about Le Oscars, and it's just like I have a lot of opinions about what's going down in the Oscars. So I'm going to be talking about. Who got snubbed? Who continues to get snubbed historically? And I'm also going to be looking at, I just want to, praising Moonlight on one end for all of its accolades and what it means.
Yes.
Because people seem to be forgetting the importance of it because they're focused on the wrong thing. And also just, how often do LGBT stories and characters actually win? And who actually wins those awards?
Oh, damn, we are bringing the facts about the Oscars today.
Yeah, I mean, you know what it is? I feel like we're just side-eyeing the Oscars also.
Yeah, that's what this episode is called.
This episode is called
side-eyeing
The Oscars Happen.
The Oscars.
Side-eyeing you. I see you. Okay, you're cute in your dresses, but we need to... Oscars, we need to talk.
It's also you, Oscars.
It's an Oscars intervention. Thought you were doing well, but we're gonna...
We need to straighten that lace front, make sure that it's on there correct, because it's about to get snatched off your hands.
Yeah, it's almost like the Oscars was standing up to win its own award for being in the Oscars, and we're, like, sitting it back down.
Wait, hold on. Play that music.
We still need to talk. Well, let's get on into it, girlfriend.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, James, I have a thing I'd like to point out to you.
What?
Whenever you want a soft theatrical song, you go straight to Jurassic Park.
Oh, was that not the Oscars theme song?
That was Jurassic Park. You go straight there all the time.
Oh my God.
You'll be like, so-and-so got married. You'll start singing Jurassic Park thing.
Someone graduated. Well, I can't help it if everything is just Jurassic Park. Everything ripped off Jurassic Park. They were like, ooh, this song is dope. We need to turn it.
What came before Jurassic Park then?
We had nothing. They just
Jurassic
clapped.
Park was straight up 90s.
People just
it
clapped.
Wasn't.
Or they just like, I think they had a maracas and shakers. And then Jurassic Park came along and revolutionized.
All of the 80s, people just did some maraca shakers.
Yeah, even just for graduations, they just walked down the aisle. Jurassic Park came along and changed the game. It was like the Matrix to music. So that happened.
Oh, yes.
Are you just going to leave that one alone there? You're not even going to touch
it? You know what? I am into it. Just like I'm into your damn Campbell's Soup commercial, which I watched like 12 times on repeat like a proud-ass mom. And then when you tried to talk to me about it, I was too high, so I couldn't talk. I just stared at your fucking text messages.
I was really confused because I was trying to talk to you about it, and you were just like, you typed like one word, like, oh my God.
I know, because that's all I can manage.
Okay, there's no
I was like, it's one of those those times, and everybody can relate to this, and maybe people won't be too happy that I'm putting this out there, but who cares? It's legal in California
exactly.
now. Sometimes you just slip and fall into a weed hole, and that doesn't happen to me that often. It really doesn't.
I know, I believe it. So I just,
but for some
I tend
reason,
to catch you when you're in your weed holes, because this is at least the second time.
I know, and it's at least like maybe once every 6 months, but both of those times you've been like, hey girl, what's up? And I'm like,
you're like, I can't handle this right now. But yeah, for those who, if you're in the Corner Kids Club Kids.
Sure.
on the Facebook. Yes. You probably have seen the commercial. Some of you have spotted it and posted it in there.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that when I did, because I've been talking about it as that soup meat sandwich reality TV dating show, which that's what it was pitched to me. But then I was also honest. I told y'all it was going to be AKA Campbell Soup commercial. And it was. Literally.
It was full on Campbell Soup. I thought that they were going to kind of... You know, soup meat sandwich is very obvious, but they were like, Campbell Soup presents.
Here it is. Campbell Soup. Look at him eat. What kind of soup are you? Oh, the tomato soup.
I know. It was classy, though. It was more classy than I thought it would be. The mixer was nice.
Yeah.
The mixer was very, like, slick and sexy.
Yeah.
And then your date was, like, the classiest date I've ever been on, except for there's one moment I'd like to bring up.
Okay, yes.
You guys were clearly making pasta.
Yeah.
But at first, it looked like you were just putting pepperonis in a salad.
No, and actually we ate...
I was like, what's up with this pepperoni salad that they're making right now?
It was supposed to be there. It was supposed to be like this pasta that they were making, but the meat that they got was like the cured meats that like, you know, that you serve with cheese and like...
Pepperonis!
Yeah, pretty much. And so the producers like, or like one of the interns or whatever was like, oops, I got the wrong sauce. Sausage, but we made it work and it was delicious. I even had I had leftovers actually.
Look at you. You're like, can I take this
I was
home?
Like, I am an artist. I was like, I am an artist. This shoot is not paying that much. I need to get my money's worth.
I'm taking this food.
I'm taking it. But I went like, so the commercial, what's so interesting is that I just found out the release. I didn't know what the release schedule was. I read an article that told me when the release schedule was going to be.
Like, you just casually were reading an article? They didn't tell you on your contract?
They did not tell me with the release schedule of it. And
Campbell's.
So I know for a fact that there was two dates. It was myself, and as you guys know, if you were listening beforehand, that there was the straight couple, this black guy and this redheaded girl. And I thought, when I read the schedule, I was sure that their date was going to be released first. Our date was, in fact, released first. Campbell's, and it's through now this media, they led with the gay date.
And they are, like, not even, like, they have put in that on blast. Like, I have twofold of that commercial on my Facebook feed because, one, it's you and everybody, reposting it. But they have been posting that shit now this for so, I am proud. That is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You are all over the Facebook. Wow. You're going to be recognized on the street.
Oh, my God. That's it's so funny.
They're going to ask you about Jimmy.
People have already been asking me about, my date. They're like, are you guys still together? And I'm like, well, we're
no.
We're into, I texted him when it launched. I was like, hey, it aired. So we're still like,
you're friends.
We're friends.
You're like at the end of a dating show when it says like, James and Jimmy are still in touch.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Technically, it's true.
It is. Right? We technically are. But the comments have been like, so I couldn't help. I had to read the comments just cause I was just curious because it is this you know, Campbell's and this, it's, you know, it's a gay date, but they're not treating it like it's a gay date. It's just like, hey,
they're just like, it's a date.
Yeah. And the comments have been so interesting and fun to also watch because also it's like the comments can't be personal about me. I'm not famous enough. So no one can be like, fuck you, James Arthur. I hate your fucking shirt that you wore. So it's like, anybody who's saying anything about like, oh, they're gay, it just like, it has everything to do with them, you know? And so it's like,
oh, completely. They are showing their asses on that comment thread. And I was way too high for that part that we were talking about. Cause in my head, I was like, they are showing their asses. They're being such dumbasses. And I was like, what do I say now? I don't.
Yeah, Nicki was just like, it's not that bad. It's just a commercial. They need to get over it. For something he said.
I know. That is what I said. But then I was like, that sounds stupid. Why did I type that? And you were like, wee, ha, ha, ha. And I was like, I don't know. I'm too high. Now that I'm not, and I'm like within my full right mind, yeah. I'm like, this is fucked up. They're dumbasses. They look like fucking idiot yokels on there, like.
And it's funny because people have been like calling them out, and I think one person had commented and he said the Campbell's is just showing the truth of the matter. These guys are too scared to date an actual woman. And I commented back or clapped back, as they say, because I
like the young people do.
I clapped back. Not scared, just happily gay. Like I said something to that, and then it got like a million.
Ooh, look at you, you know, diving in there.
And then someone else was like, they looked really awkward on their date, and I said, it's a first date, and also there were cameras around and producers. So you're right, we were nervous.
And also, you guys weren't that awkward. I've been on way more awkward dates when it's just been me and the other person alone with no
with
cameras.
No cameras or anything.
I know.
But it's also like I will say, good cameras and good lighting. I did watch that. I watched this commercial a million times. But like,
of course. You have to. I would.
Oh man. But yeah, like it turned out really well. I'm super proud of it and happy of it. And it's just so fun. And like everyone just being so supportive and like, I don't know. It's really exciting. Like I was just like, you know, I was really inspired. We'll get into this later, but you know, with Viola Davis, you know, like Viola.
Oh, love her forever.
And you know, like as an act, like sometimes like you know, and anybody who's chasing their dreams, you can relate that sometimes maybe I always feel like I'm behind, you know, like I'm like, oh, I'm 31 and I'm just now getting to New York and chasing after my dream. And then Viola Davis is one letter away from winning, being an EGOT. She's got her Oscar, her Emmy, and her Tony. All she needs to do is just read some spoken word poem.
And she's the EGOT. She's the first black woman to win an award for an Emmy, a Tony, and a Oscar.
You mean are we not including Whoopi Goldberg?
No, for acting.
Oh, okay. Okay.
For acting. That's the thing. Because Whoopi Goldberg did stand up.
I was like, damn, is this some shady shit? You're like, yeah, Viola. Because
no.
I know.
I'm like, Whoopi? Who?
Who?
No.
Who?
No, because Whoopi won the Emmy for hosting an award show.
I see. I bet Shonda is glad that she got Viola, like, you know.
Oh yeah, are you kidding me?
Because she couldn't get Viola now. Like if Viola, like she got Viola.
Viola
before.
Is above the pay grade now.
She's like,
but that's
it's like,
because of Shonda.
Very true. But like I was so inspired by Viola Davis because if you think about it, it's really literally she racked up all of those awards, busted into the scene in like the last 5 years. You know,
right?
And she's like in her 40s. Exactly. And so like, it's just so inspiring to me. Like I was watching her give that speech and get all those awards, and I'm just like, I can do this. Like. I got
this.
My Campbell's soup commercial in the bag. You know, that's humble beginnings.
I know. That's what I keep reminding myself. It's like, there's so many people who started young and had long careers, but there's so many people who started young and burnt out.
Yep.
And then there's some people who started later, like
Morgan Freeman.
I think Vera Wang didn't get started designing wedding dresses until she was like in her 40s.
Yes.
What's her face? Julia Childs didn't start until later. Like, we got time.
And it's also better, I feel like, to do it later in life because, like, the paparazzi is not following Viola Davis around. She's able to do, and she could have some she could have a scandalous life, and we don't know because they're like,
they're like, whatever.
She's in her 40s. I don't care. But what's Lindsay Lohan doing? You know?
No one cares about that, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see how dated I am? They're like, what's
like Ariana Grande.
Okay, yeah, they're like, ooh, she's licking donuts. Remember that?
That's an old one, too. Come
see,
on, James.
I'm behind. Let me know. What are the
also,
kids talking about?
Speaking about pop artists, have you heard?
What?
You need
really
to look
serious.
Into this. I know I'm serious because I'm looking out for your brand right now. Since we're talking about your brand.
Okay.
And we're talking about
this
young
is
pop artists.
Live brand consulting with Aneke.
There is a new singer who is going by James Arthur.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes. I didn't listen to his music, but I was like driving along, listening to the radio, and they're like, Summer Jam coming up with all these people I don't know, including James Arthur.
Wait, oh, that's me. You didn't know I was dropping an album?
You got I thought you're not releasing it until 2020. You're giving yourself time.
Surprise. I had to just do it early just because give the fans what they want. You know, just got to get it out there. Wait a minute. He can't take my name because I made a choice to not go by James Arthur M anymore. And I'm going by James Arthur.
You need to look into this because this motherfucker is fucking trying to steal your name.
That means I'll have to go by Jimmy Jam. But I can't do that because Jimmy Jam's already taken as well.
Who's taking Jimmy Jam? And Terry Lewis.
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
I forgot. They come as a pair.
Thanks, Janet.
I can't think of one and not the other.
Like, who's Jimmy Jam? Oh, you mean Jimmy Jam from Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis? That one? Gosh, some of our listeners might be so confused. They're like, what the fuck are they talking about? Google it.
Well, if they don't know, they need to get up with the program.
Because we do talk about this a lot. Should we jump into the corners?
Let's just do it. I'm ready.
I also should, like, should we do a Campbell's Soup commercial? I feel like I was at...
We ain't getting paid.
I was at...
You got paid. I did not get paid.
I was at lunch yesterday and I kept talking because I actually really do eat Campbell's Soup. Like my cupboards are stocked with Campbell's Soup. Makes it a really good meal.
I eat Progresso.
Nice and... Oh. Okay. But it's really nice and cheap and affordable. You just put it in a pot and it just does its own thing. And so I was at lunch the other day and my friends were like, are you filming right now? The camera's still rolling because you're talking about Campbell's. Mm. Are you getting paid for this? But
I believe it. You just busted into a commercial talking about how you put it in a pot and it does its own thing.
It really does.
Was that some copy they gave you?
It's really simple and just really makes my life easy. Because, Aneke, as you know, I'm a man on the go.
Stop it, James. Well, you know what? I love Progressive Soup.
Well, Campbell's Soup is really the best.
You just put it in
because
can.
With Campbell's... Well, that's all we have time for today, Campbell's Soup.
No! Progresso!
Oh, can I give you one insight of how the sausage was made about the Campbell's Soup commercial? When he's pouring the soup into... If you ever open up a can of tomato soup, it looks... Mm-hmm. It's gross. It's just... It's very watery.
Yeah,
so he'd actually cooked the soup, put it back in the can, so that way when he poured it out, it doesn't look disgusting. So a little behind-the-scenes tidbit, y'all.
That's like I think that's an actual job called food designer.
Oh, yeah, because usually...
Where they, like...
Food looks like awfulness.
It looks like buttholes.
And also, my boss was like, oh, was that his house? And I was like, no. And they're like, because if it was, you need to marry him.
I know, you need to lock that down.
Oh, and I said that. I said, Jimmy, if this was your place, I would, like, fuck you and marry you all the time. Like... That I lock it down.
Did they get that on camera? Is that on the extended cut of Campbell's Soup?
It's for the adult. Like that airs on Facebook night. Facebook like after midnight.
James, we've been talking so like gently and nicely about Campbell's Soup that when you said that, I literally like clutched my internal pearls.
I saw that you didn't know how to take it. I saw that for a moment. Yeah, but the director, the guy who he directed Tupac music videos, and he's got all this money now. The house.
And now, nice.
Yeah. Well, Aneke, shall we put on, speaking of pearls and clutching them.
Yes.
Let's lace up those pearls, lace up that lace front, lace up those boots, and lace up those panties. We're having a little long break. It's going to take a while to get into our Oscar outfit. So let's dive into our Oscar special.
Okay, a little tidbit now, huh?
Tidbit corner, tidbit corner,
tidbit corner.
This is the most interesting corner.
We're getting so loose with our corners.
Anything's a corner. Going back, I do remember James Arthur. I heard about him when I was in England for the holidays, and he won the X Factor.
And he's a Brit, obviously.
He's a Brit. And apparently he said some, like, terrible, not homosexual stuff. What is it when it's the opposite of homosexual? It's offensive?
Racist?
Homophobic.
Homophobic. Oh, okay. I was like, what?
He said some homosexual, homophobic stuff. And then he had to, like, apologize for it or something.
We shouldn't be supporting this James Arthur at all.
Yeah, case in point. Yeah. Yeah.
No offense, James Arthur, but I don't like your stees.
Well, now I'm getting confused. Is that me?
It's not you! I'm looking at you. I like this James Arthur, the James Arthur that I've known and loved for years.
But this British one, can go fuck himself.
There's that F-bomb is just... What's where going on work, today?
Were you just working with kids today? Like, well, you're not ready for this.
I don't know.
All right, Aneke, talk to me about the Oscars.
All right, so we all watched the Oscars, correct?
Yes, this is my first time watching it. I never watch it.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't, because usually, like, I feel like I, like, especially, like, last year, I was like, well, I feel like I could participate. Well, I feel like I could participate this year because it was like, oh, black people are invited. And
right.
We're on that stage. So I was like, I can do this.
But wait, you've never watched it before? Like, I remember watching, like, Halle Berry's, like, you know, win and how she cried and it was, like, truly monumental.
That one I missed. I missed that. Yeah, I missed that one too.
Well, you really don't watch it.
No.
I mean, an award show is an award show.
I'll watch it live, as in when I'm sitting there next to Meryl Streep. Right
oh,
next to her.
Oh, excuse.
I'll watch
excuse
it then.
Excuse me. I'll watch when I'm invited. Well, since you watched this year,
yes.
And this tends to be the case that happens a lot of years, especially politically charged years, actors will show up wearing some motherfucking pins. And a lot of times these pins aren't necessarily, you can recognize it at first. Like, everybody knows the red ribbon. That's the AIDS awareness pin, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so now there was another ribbon that was on the red carpet. You might have noticed Lin-Manuel Miranda and his mother were sporting this blue ribbon. You might have noticed that Ruth Negga from Loving, Beautiful Woman, was wearing a blue ribbon on her beautiful red dress.
Okay.
You might have noticed Oscar-winning director Barry Jenkins was wearing this blue ribbon.
Yeah, what is all this blue ribbon?
The blue ribbon represents the ACLU.
Oh, that makes sense. Yes, that makes sense. Awesome. What is this? Light blue, baby blue, turquoise blue, dark blue?
It's like a nice sky blue. It's like a pretty, it's a pretty sky blue. So I really wanted to point that out because I thought that it's kind of nice to know who is actually out there making a political statement, no matter how small, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the ACLU was one of them. Another one, Emma Roberts and Piranha Bose, who was from the movie Lion, which I saw, and she did an amazing job.
Yeah.
They both wore dresses from the red carpet Green Dress Campaign, which is dedicated to environmentally conscious, sustainable fashions.
Oh, so like dresses made out of paper.
Probably a little bit more maybe a little bit more sturdy than that.
Fair enough. Okay.
I mean, it wasn't raining, so we don't know, but
that's true. Yeah. You're welcome.
Actually,
ladies.
You know what, James, the antithesis of paper, cause paper dresses are not good for the environment. There's some trees being destroyed.
You're
maybe
right.
Maybe some plastic bottles.
So you need a dress that will last forever. Is that what it is?
No, you just need a dress that'll be composed, like, you know, can break down.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Okay. All right. Oh, so Emma Roberts was like, so I had questions because I was at this Oscars party.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Ashley Black, who's going to be on the show coming up soon. Plug, plug,
keep
plug.
Keep an ear out.
So our college friend Ashley Black, who she's one of the writers for the Samantha Bee Show and correspondent, so you might have seen her on the show too. But so she had like the people at the party. Some of them were like writers for like late night stuff or whatnot. So I was
look at you
inside.
Schmoozing. Excuse me, schmoosh.
I found out because I was asking because like Halle Berry was there in the front row and I was like, but she wasn't doing a movie, and so I had questions of like, do you have to pay for those tickets? So if you're in the front row, and like Jennifer Aniston was also there like in the second row, and I'm like, how was she?
You get invited. I mean, Vince Vaughn was there, and I'm like, what the fuck has this dude been doing?
So Emma Roberts gets, like, an invitation.
Yeah.
There are some people who have to buy their tickets, though.
People who are, like, close enough you can see their faces have to buy it.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, I don't know how these things work. I'm not in the biz.
We'll find out next year.
Yeah. Yes,
I'll tweet you.
That.
I'll tweet you. I'll be like, hey, girl, I gotta bring my mom, like Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Maybe I'll get invited to the Oscars on my own merit.
Oh, of course. Yes, true. You are side-eyeing me instead of the Oscars right now.
I had to take a break from side-eyeing the Oscars.
I'm sorry, what were you saying, Aneke? We got distracted by something crazy.
Clean it up, James. Okay, so Jackie Chan, another person who was invited to the Oscars.
that you didn't know was there, but he was there.
He was there. He was walking the red carpet with two stuffed pandas.
Oh, that's so fun.
He was walking the carpet with two stuffed pandas because he, as he explained to Ryan Seacrest, he said, mm-hmm. I'm the ambassador to the pandas after earthquake. After the earthquake, they got hurt and I raised them. I have two pandas in China of my own. They go wherever I go. They meet all the famous people. So he basically is using his bears, his panda bears, to promote his cause for UNICEF, which is, you know, doing charities all over the world.
That is awesome. And pandas are endangered species, right?
Mm-hmm, they are.
And also just a plug, because the Congress recently passed a bill that there's a limit to how many animals that we can have on the endangered species list.
Which means the bees might get bumped off soon, and giraffes are going to go extinct. So the next 4 years are going to create some major animal damage that we need to pay attention to.
But it's so insane. The endangered species list isn't like, you know, a VIP list of like, sorry, right. We're at capacity. That's not how it works.
We need to pay attention to all these fucking animals that are dying so we can have some fucking Wi-Fi, because we're assholes.
Yeah, otherwise we're all going to have to be carrying a bunch of stuffed animals with us when we go to all these different award shows.
Exactly, like Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Okay, so another pin that was sported, it was a blue ampersand.
Oh.
Do you know what an ampersand is?
Oh, that's like that and sign.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to be fancy and you don't want to write A&D, you just do that swirly thing. That's
what I do. That's what I do all the time, because I am fancy James Arthur Jones.
Oh, Jones is oh.
Well, since James Arthur seems to be taken, I'm fancy James Arthur Jones. I got to change it up.
So the blue ampersand was another pin that was sported by a lot of people, including Colleen Atwood, and that represents GLAAD.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. Was she the only one that was wearing it?
She's the only one that was mentioned in this article that I'm reading from the Mary Sue.
Well, listen up, celebrities who were at the Oscars. If you were also wearing it, let us know, and we'll give you some props.
Start wearing that blue ampersand.
Yeah.
And according to GLAAD, the ampersand is the symbol that unites us all.
Oh, so everyone could wear that and should wear this.
Yeah, symbolically. And technically it does.
Yeah. And everyone. Yeah. See?
And then another pin that was sported by a lot of actresses, including Emma Stone, I believe Brie Larson.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, Captain Marvel, who I'm about to talk about in a second. Mm. They were wearing a PP pin.
A pee pee pin.
It has two P's.
A pee pee pin.
It's not a pee. It's two P's symbolically nestled together. What do you think that stands for?
Penelope Pope. Olivia Pope's daughter.
Nope.
Persepolis Phyllis.
Nope.
Phyllis Diller's daughter.
Planned Parenthood.
Oh, that makes more sense. Yeah, that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
More than the other things I was talking about.
So Planned Parenthood was big on the red carpet. And I really wanted to point out Brie Larson, because not only was she supporting this pin, she also took a picture of the Planned Parenthood, the ampersand, and the ACLU pin. Ooh. And was like, I support all of these things.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, when she was giving the award to Casey Affleck for winning Best Actor of the Night,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She stood there and did not applaud, which was her huge protest, because he has been, he has settled many out of court suits against him about harassment and molestation against women. So she's not only supporting by wearing a pin, posting pictures of pins, but being on stage and not clapping her damn hands because she's a boss.
I really applaud that. I also want to circle back to Casey Affleck in our next segment, because I have some things to say.
Put a pin in that and make sure
your side fuckface Affleck.
has a nice little target on it.
I have this thing now where it's like, because I never call President Troll his actual name. So it's like, if I think that you're a fucker, a fuck up, not a fuck up. Like, I want, what's a really good word for it? Like a fuckery, a fuckaroo. Sure.
Yeah. I'm into all fuckwad. Of this.
I don't like to use your, I don't even like to use your name. So it's like, I don't even like to say the word, like that name. So I call him like fuckface Affleck. But people might get confused because some people feel on the fence about Ben Affleck and they're like, well, which Affleck are you talking about? Yeah. You know the one.
The scumbag one. Yeah. Not Batman. Okay. Yeah.
So not my Batman. Not my Batman. Not my Batman. Mm-mm. Not my Batman. No. I have yet to see that movie. Not my Batman.
So, moving on from pins, I'd like to move on really quickly to some commercials that happened around the Oscars, which I have to give some props to.
What was happening?
Well, one commercial, the New York Times, they have never ran an ad, but they decided to run an ad. And
they were like, buy our papers?
It is like time for this ad. So in this ad, they basically are talking about how important... Actually, it's the first time the newspaper has had an ad in a 150-year history.
Whoa, damn.
Television ad. Let me specify. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's highly important that they took this time to create this ad because, as many of us know, journalism is under attack. Mm-hmm. Trump just basically did not allow certain journalistic publications into a briefing.
Or a press conference or
whatever. Press conference. Yeah. You know, what they doing.
The thing where he's talking.
Which is censorship of the media, which is highly terrible. And he's not even going to go to the correspondence ball, which is anyways. So yeah. The New York Times is finally like, okay, we need to fucking talk about this. So they ran an ad that's called The Truth Is Hard to Know. The truth is more important now than ever. So basically in this ad, they have a whole bunch of like, you know, it starts very just like black and white, like a newspaper. And it's talking about how alternative facts are lies. And it's all talking about like all the different things that Trump has said, but going against it. And all of this, just like, it's just letters going up against everything that has been said by Trump to the media and being like, y'all need to pay attention. New York Times is here to give you the truth, which I thought was very powerful.
Yes. So they essentially Sister Mary Clarence'd all of America in one ad. They said, you better wake up and pay attention.
Yes.
You want to be somebody and you want to go somewhere.
Exactamundo.
Good job, New York Times.
Okay, so next up was Audible, which is it's books.
Like audiobooks.
It's an audiobook pod, like, you know, app. You buy it. You can buy books off of it. So it would be a normal ad where they just kind of show actor Zachary Quinto reading doing an audiobook, reading one.
Yeah.
But the book that they chose was
1984. Oh, damn. Hello.
Yeah.
Little political right in there. That sounds scary to have Zachary Quinto reading 1984.
He's intense.
Absolutely terrifying. Yeah.
He's very intense.
He's incredibly intense. See, that's how Viola Davis can get her Grammy, because she just does an audiobook, and that's how Audrey Hepburn, she read a children's book, because Audrey Hepburn's an EGOT winner.
Oh, she is. And so she won by reading and getting a Grammy for it?
By reading a children's book. So Viola just needs
to
read
some. They're just handing out Grammys.
Hillary Clinton has a Grammy. She thinks she read her book.
Handing it out.
I'm going to apply for a Grammy next year.
You're going to apply? What are you?
I just need to send in some recording of me. I'll like read... I'll read something.
Just send this podcast. Anyways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then we'll both win.
Yes.
And we're both on our way. Yeah.
Hello. Okay, so two more commercials. The next commercial was Cadillac.
Cadillac.
Cadillac decided to become super political, and they Cadillac? Posted. Yeah.
When's the last time I've even seen a Cadillac commercial?
It's usually just like a sexy car being driven on a sunset, but this one didn't even have a fucking car in the beginning.
Or a sunset.
No, black and white footage from like the civil rights kind of protest happening, then goes straight into the Women's March footage, then goes straight into the airport protests, and then goes into people helping each other. So basically, it gets kind of like lovey-dovey, where they're like, oh, police helping people hugging. And then they, you know, they got it's a commercial, so they got to plug it a little bit. Then they got, like, classy people getting ready for their protests next to their Cadillacs throughout time.
Because that's how I'm, you know what? That's my life. That commercial is pretty much the story of my life. Every time I'm about to go to a protest,
I get my Cadillac. You just go pose next to your Cadillac.
And then I'm like, now I'm ready. The revolution starts now. The revolution will be televised with me next to my Cadillac.
Okay, and then the last one is from GE. And GE does kind of like a flip. They're kind of like, what if we celebrated scientists and engineers like we celebrate celebrities? Which is, you know, pretty statement to put around the Oscars, which is the biggest celebrity worship that you could imagine.
Absolutely.
And so they pick one scientist who is Millie Dresselhaus, the queen of carbon science. And she's like this real old lady who's like been doing this shit for hella long, and she's like an engineer and she's smart, awesome. But then the way that they do it is they have like hipsters dressing up like her. They got like a mural painted of her. They got her on the cover of In Style. They got her like eating her soup with her grandson and people coming up and trying to take selfies with her. So they're just kind of being like, can we like switch our celebrity worship to some people that are actually doing some shit?
Interesting. And I feel like it kind of counterbalances, like, you know, I love me some Viola Davis, but part of her speech kind of shaded like doctors and like anybody else who's like, she was like, she said something to the effect of like, actors are the most important people alive today. We are doing
this. That's some actor shit.
And as an actor, I was like, you're right.
You're like, you are right.
You were
and
right.
I'm like, and I have to be like, I love
but
you.
Here's, but here's the thing. But then those famous doctors or those famous engineers die, and then we make them important because then we tell their story. So, you know.
Okay.
There it is.
I'll let the audience judge for themselves.
Okay. You know, I will say thank you so much for filling us in on these commercials. It's the only commercial that, for whatever reason, stopped everyone at the Oscar party I was at, heads turned. It was the one that, like, it started off, it looked like Stranger Things. It was like this little black boy. He was like running and he was like locked himself in his house. And it looked like it was almost a trailer for Stranger Things. And it kept going and it got really weird.
Oh.
And then, like, he found this spaceship alien, and then it was dropping down emojis, and then it cut to...
I did not see this.
And then it cut to a burger being fried, and it was like a commercial for Burger King.
What?
The commercial was pretty much just putting things that everybody loves. Like,
they're
it was
like
Stranger
like
Things, young black
you like
children,
this.
Emojis,
eat a burger.
Aliens,
I know.
Eat a burger. Literally it.
That
and
is
everyone
a
got
hushed.
Silence because they were like, what is this?
Because it worked. Y'all were part of the machine.
And it did. That's why I was like, damn, we just got had by some brilliant marketing right there.
I know.
Well, Aneke, I thank you so much for filling us in on the positive things that the Oscars were doing.
Yeah.
And just to keep it balanced, I would like to flip it up and reverse it in all the things where it is falling short.
Sure, let's do it.
I would like to direct side-eye it.
You know that I like doing that. That's my favorite.
Smack it up, flip it, and reverse it. Is it work it? Is it worth it? You want to flip it and you reverse it.
Okay.
It's your Oscar. It's your Oscar.
I think that's the perfect segue. Oscar side eye, Oscar side eye.
Side eyeing
Oscar,
you.
Oscar.
Side eyeing you, Oscar. I see you, Oscar. Oscar's also the name of this guy that I made out with this weekend, but that's not what the story is here.
I mean, that might be a more interesting story.
Probably. I'll tell you, since this commercial launched, like, all these men's are just, like, popping up out of the woodwork. I went to this...
They're like, I'll show you some soup, meat, and sandwich.
Right. And they haven't even seen the commercial yet. But, like, I went to this one party. I went to this guy's party all the way into Los Hombres to go...
Oh.
Yes. All the way out in Queens, which is far away from where I live in Harlem. And to go to this one guy's birthday, by the time I got there, he was really, this guy that I'm kind of talking to, he was really fucked.
Okay.
By the time I got there, he was really fucked up, went to another club. I still had my beer, so I was like, well, I'm going to hang out here. And I had an audition the next morning, so I was like, I wasn't planning on staying out late anyways. Then I was talking to this one guy, and he was like, let me get your number, and we're talking, and I was going to leave. And then this other guy was just like, oh, you're so cute. Talk to me. And then it turned...
Damn, you got that juju, that magic.
Then it turns out they were friends. They were like best friends. And it was like, I was caught in the middle, and I was like, y'all need to work this out amongst yourselves. He's like, what are we gonna do? I was like, y'all need to work this out.
Well, you know what I'm thinking throughout this whole situation.
Where are the cameras? Why are they not rolling? Where's Jimmy?
No, poor Jimmy. You cheating on him?
Well, you have to watch the rest of the episodes to find out. See, Campbell's needs to invest in this. There is story here. Okay.
I know there could be a lot.
Speaking of actual award-winning Oscars.
We weren't at all, but all right.
Okay, it's true. But let's start speaking about that. So this is like the first time I've watched the Oscars like in a long time. And like the whole entire thing. And, you know, I was so... like so ready to retire my hashtag Oscars so white. I was like, oh, look, things have finally changed. Things are different. And then really quickly, like into the Oscars, I had realized like you can't invent like they did this one thing where they were showing the history of like the winners, like the history of the winners and all these like.
Yeah.
For whatever reasons, they were just showing the guys like winning and giving like the beginning of their speeches. It was a whole lot of white people in it. But, you know, you can't invent.
Yeah.
You just, that's the history of it, right?
That's the history of it. That's the truth of it. And it's a sad truth that we need to fix.
And I kind of want to blow up, like, there's this, the liberal media, it's a myth. It is a myth.
Oh,
and I think
okay.
that we should
All right, tell me. Break
stop
it down.
Talking about it. Because, and I don't know why I'm surprised. Because, you know what? Paul Abdul and MC Scat Cat predicted this years ago. Two steps forward and two steps back. Because, sure, in some ways, there was a lot of, like, there was a lot of progressive things that did happen this year, especially compared to last year and even years prior, right? Like, each category featured a person of color as a nominee, and in some cases, there was more than one. The Best Supporting Actress category featured three African-American nominees. So that's fantastic, right? And Viola Davis, no one can snot out of her nose like Viola Davis. Like, so glad she won.
It's true. She knows how to give it her all by letting her whole face just leak it
out. Go into it. Because then they showed, like, a clip.
Leak it out.
There was a clip of, like, Michelle Williams, like, she was nominated for whatever reason. And they showed her crying.
She was barely in that movie, too.
And they showed her crying, and it just was like, I'm sorry, is there any snot coming out of your nose? Sorry.
I like a Michelle Williams. I will give her some credit, but this movie, she didn't need to be.
I think Taraji could have been nominated in that category instead of her place. I think there were other women. Okay. So yeah, like Taraji wasn't nominated, but Michelle Williams was. Like, there's still some work that needs to be done here. So two steps forward. When
Taraji owned that movie.
She killed it, and she like really worked her ass off in that. And like sometimes, like it's like I don't know. So, and then also you had Indian actor Dev Patel. He picked up, you know, he had a Best Supporting Actor nomination. Lin-Manuel Miranda, Latino man, you know, he nominated for Best Song. So there was some movement and stuff that was happening, right? But then it's like you look at things like La La Land, and it was so many nominations. And I'm gonna be perfectly honest. I haven't seen it, but you know what I have seen?
I haven't.
I've
either.
Seen all the black movies. That's what I have seen.
Yeah.
So before you
got
come,
to support the people.
Before you come waving your pitchforks at me, I will ask you: have you?
Who's gonna be?
Not I don't know, but like not you, but like if there's any random listener who's like, I can't believe you haven't seen La La Land or Manchester by the Sea, I will ask you: have you seen Moonlight? Have you seen Hidden Figures? And have you seen Fences? I will turn the tables around on you. And if you...
You need to see the receipts.
And if you have seen all three of those and you've seen La La Land and Manchester by the Sea, I'm glad you have time to do all of that. Good for you.
Ooh, okay.
I'm just kidding. But I'm not gonna...
Response for everything.
But, like, it's like, I find it so problematic. Like, I haven't seen it, but it's a movie that is about jazz, which features mainly white people, and then John Legend. And then I hear that there's another black person who's in it that someone marries, but that person has no lines. So it's like, okay, what? Like... It's still sort of this, like, whitewashing of, like, the history of jazz music. That is a black thing, y'all.
James, you haven't heard the worst part.
A what?
John Legend is the guy who's supposedly destroying jazz, and Ryan Gosling has to save jazz from John Legend.
I'm dead. And now I know why there's a shot of Chrissy Teigen taking a nap during the Oscars, because she's like, I'm not here for this. She's like, when is the party? She's like, you're not capturing my face this year. It'll be sleeping.
I know. I love Chrissy Teigen.
So, and like, and I do want to talk about Moonlight, but I do, you know, I am so glad that La La Land did not, you know, win best movie. And then, you know, and then I want to talk about Denzel Washington for a second. And I can't talk about Denzel Washington without talking about Casey Affleck, which you were talking about as well. And
We're bringing up that pin we put in from
which
earlier.
Which we never usually do. Go back to pins that we put in earlier, especially from 20 minutes ago. But look at us.
We are growing.
We are growing. I made a note. And, you know, there's just only so much awful that I can take about, you know, this fuckface Affleck guy. And, you know, I have to be honest. Like, I just found out the full story about what was going on with him, like, the day, I think on Sunday. Because, listen, I can't know everything, y'all. Like, we research for this podcast. Like, it's hard, Aneke, right, to be on top of all the stories.
We're trying our hardest. We are trying our damnedest hardest.
Yeah. So, he has these allegations, which, I don't, like, these, I hate using the word allegations, because it's like, I mean, this shit happened. Like, so... Amanda White and these two women have these allegations, Amanda White and Magdalena Gorka, who worked with him on that weird-ass Joaquin Phoenix mockumentary, I'm Still Here.
That movie was horrible.
And I guess, and Joaquin Phoenix is his brother-in-law, and fuckface Affleck, like you mentioned, he managed to sexually harass, like, both of these women on the production. Like, some of the shit he did, he crawled into bed with one of them drunk. Was
creepy.
Trying, like, he was married to, like, he was married at the time as well.
This is crazy.
He led vulgar conversations and jokes about women, sexual conquest, just general, you know, as the president would say, locker room talk on set, telling one of the ladies that she's old and she needs to have sex with one of the crew members and have a baby. Ordered one of the crew members to show him his penis, even though she was like, don't do this. Like, just harassment and hazing and just gross behavior.
Just fuckery,
would call
basically.
Women cows. Just, like, awful, awfulness.
Disgusting.
And, you know, as we all know, or at least if you've listened to this podcast before, you know I don't separate the art from the artist. I just don't.
We've had an ongoing, long conversation about it, and it's one of those things that we find, I agree with you, it's hard to separate.
Especially when it's in an industry that touts itself and waves a flag of being so political. And that's the thing.
Exactly.
If you're going to walk the walk, then you need to talk the talk. And that's where I just, like, I'm so frustrated with... Because like, you know, for me, it's like, if you're involved in things that are like sexual assault towards women, you're done in whatever career in field that you're in, unless like,
exactly.
Or if you're going to then like maybe go and get the treatment that you need to get. And like, you know, you can, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, get
rehabilitate.
Sure. Absolutely. But go do the work. And I don't even think like Mel Gibson has really done the work to get his front row fucking seat back at the place.
And it's so true. You know what? I agree with you because you just brought up a point that I just dawned on me. We're always talking about separating the art and the artist. Well, what about somebody with a regular ass job? Mm-hmm. Like, if he were to pull that shit at a library as a librarian, he would have been fired in 2 seconds.
Absolutely.
Like, why do we have to value art? It's still a job.
Yeah.
And if you're being a fucked up individual, you should be held responsible too.
And because it's like, you know, and it just reminds me, it's like this election all over again that these, you know, mediocre cisgender heterosexual white men are getting accolades for being awful human beings. And people may say, like, well, we're not judging them on their personal life. Their personal life has everything also to do about it. It is visible. And you're saying that that is okay. Right. And, you know, it made me think about, you know, how many men sat in that room last night who had probably also sexually harassed or assaulted or even raped women in the industry, and how many women had to sit in that room who are survivors of that same behavior with those men, or even, and like, seeing Casey Affleck fucking win that award. There's this great picture of the four winners of Best Actor.
Again, he's all the way over the side.
Viola Davis is giving him such side eye. Emma Stone is just kind of like, what are you doing here? And, you know, going back to I want to talk about Denzel Washington, but I needed to air the laundry about Casey Affleck, because Denzel Washington fucking deserved to win, even despite Affleck's fuckery, because Denzel is, that performance is so powerful, everyone. It is so powerful. And I can't help but think that if it was Kevin Spacey in that role, or Warren Beatty, people would have gone like fucking bananas for it. Or just some, you know, older white man, people would have lost their shit for that performance and did everything to make sure that they won.
Like, why does Denzel Washington have to win when he's playing a criminal?
And that's my thing. Like, he deserved, to me, this was like the, like, all right, Denzel, this is what you really deserve. Like, you worked your ass off for this. You know, he also, like, produced Fences, which tells me that, like,
he directed it too.
He had to move heaven and earth for that movie to get made himself, because clearly no one else was saying, Denzel, let's make this movie. And he was like, fuck this, I'm going to get this movie made myself. And he put his blood, sweat, and tears into that. No one's talking about that shit. Like, how?
Right.
And you know, maybe he didn't play the political game. He didn't campaign, but I'm sorry, he's Denzel fucking Washington, and he shouldn't have to. Meryl Streep doesn't have to campaign.
If you don't know his name by now, then you are under a rock. Like, and also, what is going
and
on?
And the story of Fences is so amazing, and it's not a story that you really hear in all the different facets and twists and turns, especially about, you know, black life. And it's so relevant, even though it takes place, like, I think in the 50s, I think. I mean, Manchester by the Sea, that's just, like, you know, the story that we've seen so many times about this, like, you know, white dude fucks up his life and has to get back on track. We've seen it. I've seen it before.
Just to kind of go off of the Denzel Washington thing, isn't he planning on producing more August Wilson movies?
I hope so, because after I saw that, I was like, I saw Fences and it was like dawned on me. I was like, August Wilson is such a rich, just, it's so rich. Like, the world needs to see more of his work and be inspired by it and tell more stories like that.
I believe that that's the first one out of six that Denzel Washington is planning on doing.
Thank God. Well, one of these awards better fucking stick. It just, like, and it just kills me that, like, for me again, like, he already deserved to win even aside from Casey Affleck's bullshit, but then Casey Affleck had this bullshit and he still lost. It's just like, what?
It just adds it on top. It adds it on top and it makes it so fucking annoying.
And I have to say this, like, had those same allegations been towards Denzel Washington, he would have been shut the fuck out of the Oscars. And how do I know this? Because look what happened.
You say it because I know what it's going
to
happen.
Look what happened to Birth of a Nation with Nate Parker. Where is Nate? Birth of a Nation was shut out. There was no actress who was being able to be nominated. No one was any involvement. That movie was completely shut out. What's the difference? What is the difference?
Right. And I don't want to say that, like, oh, we should have accepted Nate Parker. No, we're not saying that. We're saying that
double
Casey
standard.
Affleck should have had the same reception that Nate Parker
absolutely
did.
Absolutely.
Like, it's unacceptable, and we shouldn't accept that type of behavior.
And this is where I say Hollywood doesn't get to claim itself as this liberal place. And it's like, we already knew that, because we look at, like, how, you know, white and heteronormative that it really is. Like, I'm not going to allow it to ever tout itself with that banner. And if there's any conservative who tries to say, I'm offended by anyone calling Hollywood liberal, because it's not. Because I consider myself to be a liberal, and it's not doing enough. So I'm offended if someone calls Hollywood liberal. Then, so now I want to talk to Moonlight, and, you know, I hope everyone will now go see this goddamn masterpiece, because it's, like, now that it's won this, go see it.
It's like, okay, first and foremost, great. It was an amazing twist. people, okay, I just have to get this out because it was annoying me. I was giving M. Night Shyamalan some credit because Split was finally good. And I was like, all right, M. Night Shyamalan, you're back. You're not saying conceited shit anymore. So I was on the Twitters and somebody was like, did M. Night Shyamalan write the end of the Oscars? And then fucking M. Night Shyamalan posts, I wrote the end of the Oscars. And I was like, okay, you know what?
No, don't. Okay. You've gotten so many second chances. You're back. Just hang out, man.
Just take a seat, man. Take a seat.
Because, again, it's, like, distracting from, like, I feel like the thing.
Right. Like, that's what I wanted to say is, like, okay, now that that's done, let's get into the awesomeness of Moonlight fucking winning Best Picture.
It is huge. And I'm so glad. Like, it's the one of the, like, you know, it. I'm so glad because I was so bitter after the Casey Affleck thing happened and then La La Land was up there and everyone at the party I was at was hugging and saying goodbye. Like, not hugging, like, happy. It was like, all right, I'm going home. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Because it was 1 o'clock in the morning for us over on the East Coast. Shit is happening late.
It was a solid 10 o'clock. Oh, it was
Jesus. Oh, God. Being on the East Coast sometimes. Like,
I was ready to go to my Vanity Fair party.
We got
to
start this shit earlier, y'all. Like, we... Same thing after like the Super Bowl. It's like, oh my God, it is late. And I got to say this, like, can we, I feel like so many articles are just about the debacle that happened instead of uplifting this amazing movie. It's a movie that is about like this black and gay story on the fucking big screen and won an award.
Full black cast.
Yes. Full.
Like,
that's amazing.
We never see this for Best Picture. And of course, y'all got to fuck it up.
Yeah, I know. Like, right? That's the thing. Like, this beautiful moment, and it's still...
Right.
Y'all still fucked it up.
Y'all still gotta fuck it up. But you know what? They won. It was beautiful to see the reactions of them running up there.
That whole cast of the kids. Oh,
I know.
Ooh, and sexy sidebar. There is a Calvin Klein ad right now. If you guys haven't seen it, it's a Calvin Klein ad with members of the cast of Moonlight in their underwear.
This is important because this is something that hasn't been happening to a lot recently. I feel like there's a renaissance on celebrating the beauty of blackness.
Yeah, which I'm grateful for because my fear was after this recent election, because I would say this, like since Barack Obama was in office, there was a surplus of black people on like TV and in media, right? And so my fear was that there was going to be... the reverse was going to happen. And it's been nice because it's like, I haven't seen that effect. Like,
still promoting
non-whiteness.
We're still celebrating
other cultures.
Yes, other we're still celebrating other cultures, other beautiful aspects of being beautiful. Marshall Ali?
Yeah, he's also the first Muslim actor to win an Oscar. Which is huge.
And he's from Hayward, too. He's from the Bay Area.
See? And also, like, how old is he? He's, like, in his 40s. See? It's, like,
fate. Right. He's been struggling. I saw him in, like, Law & Order SVU.
Yeah.
So he's been struggling.
Yeah. And, like, look at him. And just, like, and just also just see, I don't know. And I think, like, in the past, he's had some questionable comments about, like, you know, LGBT folks.
Damn
it. No. In the past.
Okay.
And look at him now.
Okay.
Is my thing.
Yeah.
Same thing with Isaiah Washington. Also, you know, he had his thing and he came full circle and then did that movie Blackbird with Monique. And just to allow, so that's what I'm saying. People can grow.
Growth can happen.
And it can happen, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
But
that's
like
really good.
Casey Affleck has not, he's not earned his growth. He hasn't even like, oh, and also just going back to Nate Parker was actually acquitted for, you know, his allegations or his situation. So not condoning it either way, but Nate Parker was actually acquitted and Casey Affleck is not like, and still the double standard of like,
I know.
And I have to say, like, it's weird because, like, I haven't been able to fully feel the amazingness of this win because, it was so chaotic with all the other things that were happening, you know?
Right.
I do feel like, in some ways, that I won because it was, like, it's not my story, but it is my story in the sense that,
like you said, you got to see a story that runs a parallel to your life that you have never seen before.
And then for it to win an award, you know, like this, like, huge.
The biggest award.
The biggest. And, like, how significant is, you know, I also just kind of want to get some backstory of, like, the history of LGBT wins at the Oscars.
Yeah.
So, Laurence Olivier, George Bernard Shaw, and Charles Charles Laughton all took home Oscars, but remained, they were in the closet, right? So,
yeah.
And when we look at how many out actors have actually won, it's just been, there's only been one. Only one openly gay actor has ever won an Oscar as an actor. Linda Hunt.
That's it? Just her?
Just her. Just Linda Hunt holding it down. And this is the first time Barry Jenkins, with his dual nomination, it was the first time that since 1992 an African-American has been nominated for both writer and director. So slow moving, be the times. But LGBT folks have racked up awards in other areas like writing and art direction, directing. Bill Condon, Dustin Lance Black, Elton John, like Scott Rudin, Lee Daniels has also...
Yeah.
Lee.
He's, you know...
But you know
he
what?
He has an eye.
Hey.
He has a camera eye.
He's been... But he's winning, you know. And Angelina Jolie, who is actually bisexual, which people do forget. She is an out bisexual woman. She did win. But yeah, like... And Ian McKellen, he has two nominations, but no wins.
No win for Ian McKellen, which is crazy to me because he's such an amazing actor.
But you know who does get awards? Straight actors for playing gay, like Tom Hanks, Charlize Theron, Nicole Kidman, Hilary Spank, or Hilary Spanks. That's her porn.
Spanks, Hilary Spanks.
That's her porn star name. I saw that. But they win awards for playing LGBT characters, and it sucks because it's like, for one, LGBT...
Jared Leto.
Yes, Jared Leto.
Most recently.
LGBT folks can't even get these parts, and then we're definitely not going to get awarded for it. Like, it's so brave and daring when a straight person plays it. Like, wow, they really had to stretch it. Wow, Tom Hanks, how did you play gay? How did you do it?
Oh my God,
how much research did you have to do? It's like, and we can't even get our own, we can't even play those parts. And when we do play those parts, we're primarily like just the sidekick in it, like we've talked about before, or you know, but we're never like the leads. And you still even to this day have agents who are pressing for actors to stay in the closet. There's still agents
still
and casting
today?
Directors who are urging their clients to stay in.
Mm-mm. You weren't lying about this two steps forward, two steps back.
I mean, that's why I'm not too able to like be like, woohoo, yay. Like, I'm so excited for Viola Davis and Moonlight and the other small little wins, but it's like, hello.
We still got a long way to go.
One openly gay actor. And Jodie Foster has won, but she never won. She just recently, like, came out, you know? Like, we all knew.
Like, did she, though? Like, but I feel like she still even kind of barely came out. Not that I'm criticizing it, because that's her own prerogative.
But you're right. You're right. And, I'm a big fan of, like, I believe that, you know, folks, if you're in the limelight, I think that you have my personal responsibility, my opinion is that you have a responsibility to come out because of the suicide rate for young teens and because of this, like, if you're going to be,
we talked about this before.
You know, but even the out actors that do exist, like Jodie Foster, Ellen Page, you know, Zachary Quinto, Matt Bomer, Neil Patrick Harris, Luke Evans, not Chris Evans' brother, but there's a Luke Evans who's like an action star. I think he was in Dracula.
Who's Luke Evans?
Google him. He's gay. I didn't know he was gay. But they're all white, and so there's such even few LGBT POC actors who
are
out
as well.
Where the hell
is our intersectionalism,
like,
y'all?
That is like, it's so gone, and it's so important. So it's like, there's still like, as much as this has been a milestone, we're still not even action heroes. We're not even like in horror movies yet, like really.
Right.
And I would blame this on Hollywood, like the people in the industry, like in terms of the people who are part of the Academy, the producers, the
casting directors.
Casting directors, your gatekeepers. You are keeping Hollywood you're keeping it from growing.
And look at what people are watching on TV. Clearly, it is not the audience. We are a willing participant, ready to look at new and exciting different ways of people being portrayed.
Yeah.
So it is you, producers, directors, casting directors, talent agents, that are preventing all of this from happening.
Yeah. And even like, do you know when they did the memorandum, you know, Alexis Arquette wasn't in it? Alexis Arquette died this last year.
And Patricia Arquette was upset about that. That was her sister.
I have her quote, too. Patricia Arquette said she was really pissed off, you know, that they had left out her sister, Alexis, who is one of very few trans artists that has worked in the business. And Patricia said, at a time when we have trans kids that can't even go to the bathroom at school, you would think the Academy would have a little bit more respect for a group of people that are murdered, and trans women of color are most likely to live in extreme poverty, making $800 a month. So I think that Oscars has a lot of learning to do, and I'd have to disagree. I'd have to agree.
I was going to say, we agree with
Yeah.
Also, the Oscars was fucking up all over the place, because there is one woman in the memorandum who was not
alive.
Dead.
Like, so
her picture was taken for another lady.
Oh, but like, so Patricia Arquette gets left out.
Get it.
And Bill Paxton was not in it.
Well, like, he had just died that day, but they could have slapped something on there.
Oh, come on. It is 2017. Someone can quickly go to the editing room and add in something.
It's so true. What is going on? And I need to be running the Oscars.
And I want everyone to be honest that when they found out, Bill Paxton, rest in peace, but when you found out that Bill Paxton died, you had to...
Don't you dare pull one of those jokes, because Bill Paxton was a great actor.
You had to think to yourself... Now,
I knew who Bill Paxton...
Is it Bill Pullman or Bill Paxton?
No. Too soon, James. Too soon.
By the time the audience listens to
Bill Paxton.
By the time that I do too. I kind of wish, like, I mean, not that there's a choice between which Bills, but like.
Am I on Howard Stern right now? This is getting
I miss you, Bill Paxton.
This is when James becomes a shock jock. The opinions expressed on this podcast are of each podcaster.
Oh, I'm also disappointed that 13th didn't win. And that I know the OJ. You've seen the OJ documentary. And
it
you
was
see,
good,
and
but
you've
the
13th seen
13. Was better.
13th, like, and that's what I'm saying is that, like, the Oscars, the Academy, if the people who are voting are not as liberal as you would like to think. They are.
Right.
They're white, rich, liberal people. And that's different than the rest of, like, what true liberalism is. And so, you know, and where it was political was when the Iranian director, Asghar Farhadi, he wasn't there because of, you know, the crazy things that Trump is doing, right? And he had someone...
It was his own protest.
Not coming.
Mm-hmm, because of the Muslim ban.
Yeah, so seeing, like, that stuff is like, okay, and I wish they were just, I think, more of that. And so it's like, yes. Victories, yes, but still there's work to be done. You know, we need to continue to create opportunities for, you know, non-white, hetero, cisgender folks. We need to broaden our stories, because this is why... We have Trump for president, because you keep feeding people a white America, and that's what they turn out to vote for. So this is on you then, Academy. Like, if you can't have it both ways. And so you need to step up your game, because this is on you. This is on you.
Damn, James. You lost me and you brought me back. You got me. You took me for a roller coaster ride, and I have to say, I am concluding this ride right along with you.
Ah, yay. We're on the same page. So, Moonlight, I celebrate you. Denzel, you are my winner. Not Casey Affleck, not my best supporting actor.
No.
The Afflecks are not my Batman and not my best supporting actor.
I feel kind of
best actor.
I feel bad for Ben Affleck.
Do you?
I don't know. He just seems so sad.
He does. I know. He's got that weird. He's got that weird back tattoo that even J-Lo is like, baby, what are you doing? Not like baby, but like, you know, she was like, what is this?
I feel like J-Lo's the type of lady that calls everybody baby.
That's true. Yeah.
You know.
And last thing, I'm going to lose you. No, I won't. You'll be on this one. And Emma Stone, you can thank Lindsay Lohan that she fucked up her life so much that you have a career. Because come on, Easy A.
I am not with you.
Because Easy A had this. Lindsay Lohan written all over it, but she was a mess.
But you know what? Just like what she said in her speech, it's all about luck and talent. She took that opportunity and she ran with
Fair
it.
Fair enough.
Did Lindsay Lohan run with her opportunities?
Fair enough. Emma was like, well, Lindsay's out. I'm in. So here we go.
And I got the talent to support it.
That
so
is true. And I mean, I do love. I know. I love. I'm an Emma Stone fan, but you know, I just... Yeah.
It can't hurt to look like somebody.
And have very similar voice sounding and sort of like that like gruff
just
party girl
say,
voice.
Don Richards, I'm coming for your ass.
Wayne Brady, you're on watch.
You know who else we don't need to talk about this.
Well, Oscars, do better next time. Two steps forward, two steps back.
Just keep the progression going, y'all. Jesus.
We need this. I got two steps forward, two steps back stuck in my head. Two steps forward, two steps back.
It's a catchy ass song.
Opposites attracting, you know.
You know what I just realized too? It's actually a terrible love song because two steps forward and two steps back means you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, well, where were Paula Abdul and that dancing cartoon cat really going? Where were they going?
Absolutely
nowhere. They live in two different worlds. It was just not going to happen. But you know who is going forward? Campbell's Soup.
Who?
Campbell's Soup.
Nope.
Is...
We're not. You got paid. I didn't.
But I will just. Because I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, I am super not proud of the Oscars, but I am proud of Campbell's Soup. Again, they led with our not.
It's
they
true.
Led not
I
with the straight.
Say,
they yeah. led not with the straight commercial, but they led. Like I thought, like usually the straight one is like the first lead one, and then it's backed up by the diversity one, and we were like the lead one.
But also, let me just reemphasize too that not only was it a gay date. It was two men of color.
That is true. You're absolutely right. And I've been seeing the comments of it, too. People have been really excited to see two men of color being represented just going on a date. So it's that thing that I always talk about. It happened.
Yes. Campbell's Soup, you're all about intersectionality, and I'll support that. Give me some money.
That's
Thank
true.
You.
Yeah. Aneke needs her check needs to clear, too.
I'm broke.
Yeah. Oh, and if you see the ads, feel free to put some positive things in the comments, because people be crazy in there. But for the most...
Just don't feed the trolls.
Don't feed the trolls. Yeah. But I will tell you this. I was trolling my own ad at first, because, like, I was reading...
You can handle that shit, though.
I was reading all the comments. I was liking people's shit. Someone was like, he's cute. I was like,
You literally legit on one of them, you were the first one that was like, hey, that's me. I was like, oh, James.
I couldn't help myself. I think one of the funniest responses someone wrote, they were like, how dare Campbell's Soup do something like this? What are they doing?
Oh
wait,
God.
It goes on. They're like, what are they doing something like this? You know, having a romantic date and they're playing hip hop music. They need to put some Barry White on there.
That's what they were getting upset about?
It was like, they were just kidding. It was an all cast. Okay. And then someone else was like, This is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Who would ever put an egg white in a cocktail? But I love the ad.
People.
So there's some good funny people there.
You give me some giggles.
Speaking of...
Oh, you know what else?
Yeah, I think we're both going to segue the same thing at the same time.
Are we going to segue into this letter?
Yeah, speaking of things that are awesome and give us, like, life.
Yes, so we got a letter on our Minority Corner Facebook page. You can send us messages. Let's keep it clean. Let's not go too crazy with those messages.
So not too many not too many F-bombs? Who would just come in and be what if they were like, fucking Minority Corner's the fucking best, fuck yeah, fuck.
I'm into that. Curse words, whatever. I don't want to see no, like, genitalia.
Who is going to put, okay, I love, you always, Aneke's always like, she's always like, worst case scenario. Anytime, she's like, we want you guys to get involved in the conversation, but she's like, but don't, like, send us, like, death threats, and, like, don't send us, like, pictures of your dick, or don't ask us, like, nasty questions. How many times did you have sex today? Like, who is going to, who do you think our listeners are?
One of us got to be the cautious one, okay?
Fair enough.
One of us.
Because I am just like, send us anything, and you're like,
and I'm like, you man this account. Okay, we both man it. So, okay, we got a letter.
Okay, we
letter
don't
from...
man it, we person it. Thank you.
Ooh, look at you. Person it.
We hand, right. So, know what we do? We, Olivia, we handle it.
We handle it.
It's been handled. Email or like a tweet, I then text Aneke. I'm like, it's been handled.
And then you do a little white hat emoji after.
And I will say, I know we're getting distracted from this other thing, but Ashley, like, so I had a conversation at the Oscar party about, first of all, I've adopted Olivia Pope walk. Like, when I leave my auditions, I walk like Olivia Pope.
Because
she walks
this?
Like
what
she means business. And that's how I walk around the streets of New York. And if you notice, Viola Davis, How to Get Away with the Murder, her walk is... It's like, she's kind of like tired, but pushing through it. She's like, I gotta deal with this shit.
She's tired she's just of like, this she's shit over work. It.
She's always just tired of this shit.
I don't blame her. Those students be putting her through the ringer on that show.
She's like, oh, I gotta deal with this now too.
I know.
God damn it. I just wanted to have sex with that sexy muscle man that I got fired.
So this letter, the letter.
And now, without further ado, this letter.
And I apologize because I think I might be pronouncing this wrong. Is it Aryan? Aryan?
Aryan? I'm not looking at it, but...
Aryan G. We love you, and I'm sorry I'm mispronouncing your name. It happens to me all the time, girl, so, you know, kindred spirits. So... She wrote, I love the show. I wanted to let you know that there are a lot of farmers who strive to promote more socially just economies and support intersectional goals. I know you guys were mostly joking in episode 68. Like, I got lumped in there.
on my tirade, you're in this boat with me.
And meanwhile, I've been like, no, James, But we're collective. But as a baby farmer / farmhand, I felt I needed to offer a counterpoint. Thanks for the work you do. I love listening while I'm weeding / hauling stuff / harvesting veggies. One, I thought that was fucking interesting that we got some farmers listening to us, which is awesome.
Yes, it's true. I honestly did not think that there were farmers listening. So thank you for letting me know that you're here.
Yes.
You are part of the minority.
And that there are farmers. No, she's. James, she's literally Why? Saying that there are farmers out there that support the goals that we're talking about. She's not a part. She is not a part of the minority.
No. I mean, farmers are part of the minority, and that it's a minority of the population. Because it's not. I wouldn't say a majority of America is minority are the minorities. I'm saying that you are like because the minority corner is a broad term. Like a lot of people can be part of the minority corner.
Okay, for a minute, I thought that you were calling her a minority of farmers, and I was about to be like, no, you're just going against the whole point. Again.
Actually, I like that you brought. Thank you for bringing this up because I had a conversation and I learned some information about my tirade. I was on my tirade. I read about farmers recently, and someone actually set me straight that actually the farming industry, like, because if it makes sense, the mass produce and stuff, like a lot of these laws and stuff that are far for farmers, the people that actually benefit from it are actually big corporations.
Mm.
Like small time farming is actually it's very small actually. Like it's got to be more so. I think the people that you go to like the farmers markets, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people that benefit from these laws that are supposedly quote unquote for the farmers are actually companies like McDonald's, companies like Walmart.
Oh.
So like big corporations who have farms. Like McDonald's has a farm, right?
Right. Right.
Walmart has a farm. So the people that are actually benefiting from this stuff and actually what my tirade should actually be about is actually big corporations.
And I will co-sign to that because it's always fun to hate on corporations because they're fucking up everything.
So everything that I said is actually meant like corporation farming.
Farmer and then put For in corporate farming.
Corporate farming. You small-time farmers, I'm into you. You're cute. It's a little expensive, but you got to make your money.
You know what? If you're out there and you're just doing your farming and you're doing what you're doing and you're listening to us, we support you.
We support you.
So thank you for sending us that letter. I wanted to say thank you for that. We love some feedback.
Getting involved in the conversation. I say some stuff, so you might come at me for my stuff about, what did I say today? I don't know. I said something about someone.
I know.
Lindsay Lohan.
Nope.
You might come for me. Was it her?
People are going to come for you for Bill Paxton.
The Emma Stone? I didn't say anything about any people. Sorry for speaking the truth. I am like the magical sitar. I am a magical sitar player. I can only speak the truth, to quote Moulin Rouge.
Which I'm starting to wonder if that was copacetic.
Oh, see, that's the thing, too, is that I are you talking about Moulin Rouge? There's a lot of problematic things about that. I know that we don't have that much time.
I know.
But
we'll talk about it later.
But there would be the same thing if, like, Moulin Rouge, like La La Land is probably, like, it's a fun movie and it's a good
fluff
musical.
Popcorn.
But the thing is that, like, it it'd be like Moulin Rouge winning all these awards. And then you open yourself to like, well, I got to look at you and analyze you.
Yeah.
Because there's one black man in Moulin Rouge and his name is something kind of offensive.
What
I
is
think it's
it?
Like, it's something, I looked it up once.
Like Cole Black or something? Or
something, it's something
no.
that alludes to that he's black. I'm 98% sure. Yeah.
But you know what? That movie did not win any awards.
So it's fine. It gets a pass. It's just fun popcorn fodder, and I get to sing some songs, and that's it.
Oh, man. Well,
all right. Well, let's get out of here.
Tweet us at Minority Corner with a K. Minority Corner with a K at Facebook.
Ooh,
and
there.
Then also
a Corner Kids Playground where they
oh
be
my
playing.
God. I just accepted like 5 people today.
I saw. I tried to go accept them and Aneke was on it. And
ooh,
then
sorry.
She texted me and she was like, it's been handled.
White hat emoji.
She did. There should be an Olivia Pope white hat emoji. Yes. And also, don't forget, stock up on Campbell's Soup. It's
Stop
the real.
It, James. No, but for reals, you need to remember that Max, the Max Bun Drive is coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the Max Bun Drive is coming up in March.
So get ready to make it rain. I'll do a little sexy dance. Get them dollar bills out, y'all. But really, like, it would be really awesome that if, like, every listener donated, like, $5, $3, whatever it is that you have, it just allows us to be able to do the awesome stuff that, like, we do. I'm going to say it's awesome.
It is
awesome. Self-proclaim.
It is awesome. I am self-proclaiming right along with you. I believe
exactly.
That's going to start the week of March 20th, and it's going to go for 2 weeks, so start saving them. And we will be providing bonus content for those who decide to
yes.
give us some money.
So those who participate in the Max Fun Drive, you're going to get our super secret bonus episode. It's going to have bonus content, bonus, backstage bonus passes.
Ooh, I love that.
Yes, we'll have a little extra interview with one of the writers and correspondents from the Samantha Bee Show and other good fun tidbits and things as well.
Mm-hmm.
So don't miss out.
So.
Well, I guess that's it.
I think that is. So keep listening.
We done.
And keep being our friends.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounded very sad. Keep listening and keep being our friends, please. I'm sad. Have a great week, y'all. Keep being fabulous. Bye. With murder.
The Dead Pilot Society podcast brings you hilarious comedy pilots that were never made, featuring actors like Aubrey Plaza, Andy Richter, Paul F. Tompkins, John Hodgman, Adam Scott, Molly Shannon, Busy Phillips, Tom Lennon, Anna Camp, Laurie Metcalf, Felicia Day, Michael Ian Black, Adam Savage, Paul Scheer, Ben Schwartz, Skylar Astin, Mae Whitman, Josh Molina, Ben Feldman, Nicole Byer, Jason Ritter, Sarah Chalk, Steve Agee, Jane Levy, Allison Tolman, Danielle Nicolette, Casey Wilson, Anna Ortiz, Lorraine Newman, June Diane Raphael, Kieran Shipka, Ed Week, Zach Knight, and Carrie Kenny Silver, John Ross Bowie, Jamie Denbo, Janet Varney, Alexander Forsani, Bruce Summer, Ellen Morales, Matt Worley, and many more. Listen at MaximumFun.org, iTunes, or wherever you download podcasts.
My name is Patrick.
My name is Ariel.
My name is Joe Coghlan. The first time I went to Max FunCon, I didn't know anyone. I was really nervous about that.
Everyone said not to worry about going alone, that I'd make friends right away, that I'd have an amazing time. It turns out everyone was right.
I instantly had 200 new friends.
I've made lifelong friends at Max FunCon that I'm going to keep in touch with for the rest of my life.
If you aren't sure if you belong at Max FunCon, you belong.
Don't be like me. Don't waste 2 years being too nervous. Just go already.
Join Ariel, Patrick, and Joe at Max FunCon. Tickets for Max FunCon and Max FunCon East are on sale now at MaxFunCon.com.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.